Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. This is March 15th, 2023, your AEW Dynamite review after a humper. A humper of a show. And if you want to celebrate this St. Humper's Day, donate Humper Chats at humperchats.com or Super Chats here at youtube.com/Fightful. To get your question or statement read on the air, you can leave a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate that. I am joined by not Julie Cutler. It is Alex Pawlowski, who I know is stoked because right after this show, we are dropping a Miyu Yamashita interview. Thanks to Scott Edwards. We got Maki Ito coming this week as well, ahead of Grand Princess. You get all that stuff early at FightfulSelect.com. I'll brag about FightfulSelect.com later on. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a St. Patrick's Day slam, so I thought I would do something a little understated to celebrate. And no, great show. Started off with a super hot segment to get us the direction of where we're going into the spring. That's awesome. An awesome new debut in the women's division. That's certainly great. Jeff Jarrett didn't win. And what an amazing trios title main event. So I'm
a lot excited. Of good stuff, man. Like, a lot of good stuff. This felt like prime AEW to me. Yeah. This was kicking on all cylinders, and we want to kick the show on all cylinders, guys. We had Listen Ya Boy today, which was like 45 minutes of super chats, humper chats. I feel like I'm getting real close to getting Jimmy to just give in and make that an all super chat, humper chat show, which I would sure. very much love. But guys, get your questions or statements in. If that's not enough for you. We do have FightfulSelect.com, which did have the rundown match order for tonight's show. It had didn't have Taya Valkyrie's opponent. It had Jade Cargill's opponent. We had nice details on AEW contracts. We had Miyu Yamashita notes as well. We had a bunch of notes in our select portions. In addition to the list goes on, we got an exclusive interview with Danny Cage talking about the Monster Factory show on Apple TV Plus. There's just hundreds of things per month. For everybody that says,
hey, why would you pay for wrestling news?
It's a lot more than wrestling news. Try it yourself. Just $5, my friends. Monday was a great day to be a Fightful Select subscriber. You got the scoop on Bray Wyatt. You got the scoop on Stone Cold Steve Austin. You got Monday Night Raw rundowns, and Alex Palowski did the Sour Graps review as well. Just it's a good time. I'm ready to talk about AEW Dynamite. My God. Jaden says, I'll be catching on VOD today. Have a lovely show. Oh, we're gonna. And Lupongi Vice says, haven't been able to catch a live stream in a minute and a half. Damn jury duty making me do my civil duty. Love what you guys do. Wish I could give more, but hell of love from Melbourne, Australia. Well, thank you for doing your duty. We appreciate you. And we're just glad that you're here. ShotKid29 says, after seeing how hot the crowd was tonight, Forbidden Door being in Toronto is going to be molten. So that's some of the news. Toronto gets a six-leg show after AEW Forbidden Door. Now, I can tell you, Alex, that, and I posted this on Fightful Select today, a couple of the rumored cities were Boston and Tokyo. Toronto,
wow.
Anybody who's watched Fightful for any extended period of time knows it holds a special place in my heart. It's my second home. I've been to Toronto like 7-8 times now. I was going to go for Rebellion next month. Don't think I'm going to be able to. I love that city. It's a wonderful city. It is a special city for pro wrestling, and it's a special city for Tony Khan. His family owns the Four Seasons Hotel there. I leave for London like 2 days after that, and I'm still tempted just to go just because I love the city so much. I was there for I was there for SummerSlam. I was there for the last AEW shows.
Right.
Toronto, Forbidden Door. How you feeling?
I think it's a perfect place for it. I think that, I mean, the Toronto fans are super into that, to the super hardcore wrestling. It's a great selection. I'm just upset that it happens to be on a date that I've like, my parents were like, we want to come visit you this summer, but we don't want to get involved. We don't want to play second fiddle to your wrestling. So what is a weekend that you don't have any shows? And I was like, hey, the last weekend in June, I got nothing. There's no way I'm missing Forbidden Door 2.
The show of the year on the Fightful Awards was AEW New Japan Forbidden Door. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for this. Glenn Flanders says great Dynamite. Just wish they could find a spot for Swerve, Keith Lee, and Miro. Me too. I don't like the Mogul Affiliates deal. I think it'd be better off with a couple other people. Love Swerve. Love Keith Lee.
Yeah.
Andrew Glenn says Michael Sidgwick's face is featured in 100% of Goated Dynamite episodes. This show sold my attendance at every TO show. All due respect to that fella, I literally only know who he is because he often gets tagged in Alex's very angry tweets. That's fantastic. It's the only way I know who that person is. Andrew says, don't know if you've reported on this, but any clue what happened with Mr. Bebe? Thought he said he would face someone at Revolution, then nothing. No, he said he would face someone in March. It's going to be the lead-in for the AEW All Access show. And every time I see that trailer, I get a little more interested in it, Alex.
Yeah, I'm like, me too.
I notice a few more things, and I think it's gonna
just when I thought I was out of wrestling reality shows, they pull me back in, and I'm probably gonna wind up just going ahead and subscribing to that on my DVR and watching it every week, because how could you not?
Chi-Town Spurs says, "What do you guys think of Tony bringing in Sarah Stock?" As long as everything's on the up and up with her, I think that that would be very, very good. She was well-respected as a producer. She was a fantastic performer. Also, I would love to see if she could still go in the ring one or two more times because she looked like she was in great shape last time I saw her.
Yep.
Vasco says, an all-timer, Four Pillars, Taya, and Elite versus BCC. Yeah. Oh, man. This was a great episode. A great episode. And it kicked off with the re-bar mitzvah. MJF is out there in sunglasses. I got to say, pretty good look for him in sunglasses, too,
With a yarmulke.
That once he won the title or something, we would see like modified Burberry, like his own version of it. Like the colors changing, you know, you always want to adapt and get different. And this was the closest we've seen to that. I loved this segment even before people showed up.
Oh yeah.
It was great. It was cultured. Uh-huh. It was wonderful. There's the big cake at ringside, and you know somebody's going through it.
Yeah, somebody's got to go on the cake.
But he's got this goddamn furry Burberry hat. Mm-hmm. And it looks incredible. And it's there to help hide his double black eyes.
Ooh, man.
They were nasty.
They were bad.
You know, hope he heals up soon, legitimately. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to the fella. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this really shows you the scars of war that he sports as a result of that match. And now this is something they'll
refer to. It's the Furberry hat.
I
like
this
that
is something they'll always be able to refer to, Alex.
Yeah.
This match cosmetically messed up MJF, and it sent Bryan Danielson home.
Mm-hmm.
So now if they do an Iron Man match in AEW, they can even say, you've seen Iron Man matches, mm-hmm, but you saw what an Iron Man match in AEW does to somebody.
That's right.
I love that they've got that. This was, to me, a great opening. We'll talk about this stuff before we talk about the interference, so to speak. I just had a blast with this.
I mean, he was working the crowd really well. It's like, hey, don't blame me. We're called the chosen people for a reason. He was working the crowd. He's doing great stuff. Him coming to the ring with four hot girls and the slinky black numbers and making out with one of them. It's what you come to expect from MJF. Really, really good stuff. Then it became this thing that I don't know if it was just like crazy rumor going
Let's
around.
Let's fucking go! The Bengals just signed away one of the Chiefs' offensive linemen. Let's fucking go! Hey, Alex, sorry to interrupt, but the Cincinnati Bengals just signed four-time Pro Bowl tackle Orlando Brown Jr. Away from the Kansas City Chiefs!
Yeah.
Let's fucking go!
Wow.
I'm sorry. That was rude of me. Follow Common Bengals W mm-hmm. on...
That seems from your reaction that it was an uncommon Bengals W.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, so. I'm going to say that's what we would call an uncommon Bengals W right there.
All right.
Sorry. That is my one reaction to this on an otherwise. Somebody says, you lost your entire secondary, Sean. No, they didn't. In fact, but there we go. Let's go ahead and, continue this absolute slapper of a dynamite.
This is also entirely untrue. That's slander. I've never been a Packers fan in my life. I the first year I lived in Wisconsin, they won the Super Bowl, and I was like, hey, this is kind of neat. Everyone's happy. But I was never a Packers fan. So anyway. I thought this was something people were talking about. Ooh, it's gonna be a Four Pillars match. And I was like, that's some wonderful fantasy booking. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I just don't know that they're gonna do it. And then all of a sudden they were like, ha ha, we're doing it. So that was pretty and a really great way of getting there. I thought that the segment was laid out really, really well.
Glenn Flanders says, not a Bengals fan, but F the Chiefs. G-Bro says, Sean with the spot on TK impression. Eloquence says MJF's cryon said Jewish AF. So let's talk about how this went. So here's a funny thing. I was trying to nail down a story this week. The story was Jungle Boy in for significant push.
Right.
Didn't get enough to run with it as a story.
Sure.
Jungle Boy, his music hits, and, and straight up what I was told was Jungle Boy's getting a title match.
Right.
I'm glad I didn't run that story prematurely, but when he first came out, I was like, yeah, goddamn.
I should have run that story.
Should have ran that story. Should have just said, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes out, but then Sammy comes out. And I'm like, is this interesting? I can't tell. I'm like, what's going on here? I like Sammy, but what's up? And then as soon as he got down the ramp, I go, oh, I see what this is.
Yeah.
And then Darby came out.
Yep.
And then there it is. And I shouldn't be surprised because not everybody knows the four pillars thing.
Right.
But Darby, MJF, Sammy, and Jack Perry are often considered the four pillars of AEW as far as had never been on WWE or TNA or anything like that to any extended period. Now, I saw people say, well, Ricky Starks is more of a pillar. Sure, I love him. He's great.
Yeah.
Britt's more of a pillar. Sure, she's great. She's wonderful. Love her. But, I mean, these were the ones. Like, for example, you could argue that, hey, maybe Bianca Belair is more qualified as a horseman than somebody else. But listen, she ain't one of the horsewomen.
No.
That's just not the way it is.
Nope.
So what you have are the four pillars of AEW. It's four of the signings that were made that made people go, ooh, okay. This is before a lot of the WWE signings. Because at one point, Alex, and I don't know how many people knew this or realized it, but at one point, everybody that WWE or the AEW had on their roster that was in WWE had left of their own volition. There was at one point where all their wrestlers that came from there, or at least I would say 95%, had opted to leave. And that includes a guy named Jake Hager who opted to not re-sign there.
That's right.
So this was a part of their original core.
Sure.
And this just screamed fresh, brand new car smell, fresh linens, all this. Mish says, don't talk about WWE on the show, please. Hit the fucking bricks, Junior. Hit the bricks, buddy.
I mean,
come on. What are we doing here?
I don't know.
This felt just brand new seeing these four in each corner and them in unison saying, I want a title match, Alex.
Yep.
God, I love this. Before we even got to the in-depth stuff of this, I just loved everything about this. Listen, I love Bryan Danielson. I like Chris Jericho. I love these people that we've seen competing for the title. I like Jon Moxley, CM Punk. This was AEW, 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 and AEW.
Yeah.
How'd you feel?
I thought the unison I want a title match was very cute and clever. I like that. I thought each of the three guys delivered a great promo in their own style, where they came from, how Jungle Boy had that match at Double or Nothing 2020 in front of nobody. For the pay-per-view, and then after Max cheated to win, he got relegated to Dark, and MJF always gets a push, always. And I thought that's a really little guy. That's how their paths diverted, right? I like that little moment there. Sammy Guevara talking about all of the dues he had to pay to get here. When he got signed, he was just going to be Jericho's bump guy, the guy to take all the pinfalls in the inner circle. And he worked his way up to become a three-time TNT champion. I mean, listen, the guy's a knucklehead out of the ring, but in the ring, like, you can't say anything bad about the amazing stuff that he does. And then Darby, you know, cut the best promo that I've seen him cut. Like, it was not his, like, little emo shtick where he just, like, hello, it's me. I'm coming to get your title. Like none of that was. It was fiery. It was good. It felt like he was off the cuff. It felt really great. It did not feel like a thing that we're doing as part of another Darby Allin short film. It felt real.
Even though he definitely referenced his
right. Yeah, exactly.
Short. I also want to see that film.
Yes, the one that
was banned.
Sorry, you're not allowed to turn that in.
Tony Khan's going to use it
just
to promote.
Just give the guy an F. Why? Yes. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to turn it in. Go ahead, turn it in. I'll give you an F.
The new hour of AEW TV is going to be Darby's short films.
Yeah.
God, man. The Sammy MJF back and forth, too. Sammy needed that.
Yeah.
Sammy needed something like that. Now, there are some things like that are almost a little too on the nose for me, like saying saying Yas's job guy or Inner Circle's job guy, Jericho's bump guy type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like those, I'm like, it's a little close.
The insider terms. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But MJF says, Sammy, I'm going to get engaged to a new woman in 7 months, Guevara. Mm-hmm. And then Sammy fires right back with, that's funny. Your fiance left you.
Uh-huh.
Bless MJF for being like, okay, you know who didn't do that? CM Punk had a problem with taking it.
Right.
MJF.
I love that he's like, oh, so we're shooting now. Okay, yes. Great. So, that was some good stuff there because then he goes like, you had Christian, you have Jericho, you got Sting. I'm the only guy who didn't have to get dropped off at daddy daycare. That was a really good line. I like that one a lot.
And again, a year ago, we're talking about CM Punk having an issue with the lines in Hangman's promo that a lot of people didn't even get. Everybody gets your fiance left you.
Yes.
Everybody understands it.
One of the things I love is, I don't know if you go back and watch this, because that really, because I was looking for some reason at Jungle Boy when MJF dropped the, I'm probably going to leave my fiance for another girl in 7 months. And Jungle Boy was legitimately shocked by it and he busted out. He was like, oh God, that was some good stuff.
Oh man. Eloquent says, I hated Sammy talking about being Jericho's bump guy. A little too fourth wall breaking for me. I agreed with you, Eloquent. That's the only thing I didn't like, but I thought he really brought it back with that line.
Yeah.
Chris Spire says, question, can the four pillars draw ratings or pay-per-view buys? You got to give them the opportunity and you have to put them in the position. You can't always wait for WWE to develop your talent for you. Can't do it. Anthony says, do the four pillars have a match at Double or Nothing? They should. They should main event AEW Double or Nothing.
God, it always does this to me where I'm like, that's 2.5 months.
I know.
Like you told us you were having the match tonight. You're going to hold off on that for 2.5. Like I feel like that's a lot of dynamites to get through, but that's the biggest place to do it. That's the place you do it. But what are you going to do to keep everybody busy so it doesn't feel like you're just treading water for 2.5 months? That's the only thing that I would say about it.
The fortunate thing is there are a lot of ingredients involved here, and there are a lot of side ingredients involved too. Like Yas can be involved. Sting hopefully can be involved. I would really, really like to see that.
Yeah.
Anime Otaku says, I hope Britt has a little aside at some point about this. She did like my tweet to that effect. I don't know what your tweet was, Anime Otaku.
About the her being one of the pillars.
She is one of the pillars. I mean, like, she should be a pillar, but I mean, this was as originally presented.
Yeah, that's the best. I think that, I don't know where that came from originally, but like, that's been a thing people have been talking about now for a couple of years.
Brandon Charles Powell says, AEW Iron Man or walking in the NXT parking lot, which one is more dangerous? NXT parking lot's like the goddamn Bermuda Triangle at this point,
it
man.
It really
like,
is. It really is.
I ain't going anywhere near that place. Meet Normus. Like, I want all of the must have taken the vaccine memes to just be like must have been in the parking lot memes.
Right, yeah, that's good.
Meet Normus says, I was sports entertained, dare I say titillated, by the prospect of the Four Pillars match. WWE dropped the ball on the Horsewomen and the Shield matches. This exactly. I can't tell. Alex, we were on this show for how many years?
So many years.
I said, all right, you got all these part-timers main eventing. Alex, I think the last time that none of the main events of WrestleMania featured a part-timer was John Cena versus The Miz.
Right.
And that still had The Rock running around outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at it and I was like, Four Horsewomen, Shield. Those are main events that they could happen. And they didn't do it. So I hope they do it here.
Yeah.
Hope they do it here.
Me too.
Jambeard says Punk called Britt more of a pillar than MJF.
Yeah.
And listen, she completely earned it. She took every bit of criticism that people levied against her, and she channeled that into a successful heel character has since turned again.
Yep.
Jambeard says also MJF saying the other three have or had people to lean on, forgetting that he used to have Cody in his corner. Oh, he had Cody in his corner. He had Wardlow in his corner. He had FTR in his corner. He had Chris Jericho in it. He's a hypocrite. That's the point.
That's part of it. I think a lot of it is that there's these older ring veterans who on screen, not just like working for you backstage, but on screen, this is my mentor. Like they actually talk about how they're presented. I am young, learning at the tree of my mentor Sting or my mentor Christian. And there's a difference there as opposed to who you're getting advice from backstage, but how they're presented on screen. Now, the guy he did have for a while was Chris Jericho, but it turns out that was all a swerve.
Yes. Jambeard says, I love the fact that the other three pillars cut great promos on the guy who is known as the best at doing the promo. I mean, this is what we had mentioned about Bryan Danielson the week before the pay-per-view too, Alex. He didn't allow MJF to talk. Yep. And MJF is like, For all of what you used to hear about how Triple H was such a student of the game, MJF is also a student of the game. Like he employs things that have long since been forgotten.
Right.
And he knows when to talk. He knows when not to. He knows that sometimes the less you say, the more it means. And he knows that sometimes when you say, like, for example, when he would use a lot of the same insults forever, and then he would hit you with a very deeply personal one.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, I expected him to be like, LOL, your mom, not
right.
LOL, your mom abandoned you when you were a child, and that's why you ended up the way that you were type of thing.
Yeah.
Joey Bag of Donuts says, with the opening segment, the greatest segment in Dynamite history, it's in the conversation. It feels like one of the more refreshing ones in AEW Dynamite history, because for all of the complaints that we've had, like I said, Alex, this was such a breath of fresh air. This was an oxygen tank over your eyes level of fresh.
Yeah. This is let's look back after Double or Nothing and we'll see how important this is, because there could be a lot of really great stuff. I mean, like you got to have a round robin among the three challengers between now and you know, like let's see all these guys in different in different combinations and fun like interactions between them, that they all together hate MJF, but they all together hate each other. Like there's some really good stuff there. This could be one of the best programs from pay-per-view to pay-per-view cycle in AEW history. It all depends on how it goes and where each of these guys goes after that. But if we look back on this in a year, we could absolutely say this was the beginning of something really, really important.
Sawyer says, all due respect to Starks, but he wasn't an AEW original. The Pillars have been here since January 2019's press conference. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, I love Starks, and I think he was a remarkable signing for that company, a great one, but these were originals. Tom LaValle says, what a show. The four-way promo ruled. Ty is all elite. Great matches up and down the card. And I watched that SRS cameo on All Egos vlog from Sunday. Always love popping up on Ethan Page's vlog. Love that they were in Lexington. Love that they were at Toy Vomit. Love them at Toy Vomit. If you're ever in Lexington and you haven't checked that out, I don't care if you're into figures or not. They got all kinds of cool stuff. It's almost like a tourist attraction now. You got to check it out if you're a wrestling fan. JP says, run the Pillars all summer, then Wardlow comes close to beating MJF and have Cole beat him for the championship at the last pay-per-view. FTR versus Bucks versus House of Black. And and he meant to say BCC, but he says, and BBC. AEW with amazing storylines going forward. Listen.
Right.
The House of Black versus the BBC sounds like something way different.
Very different. Yeah,
the house, very different.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, some people will pay for that pay-per-view. Good time. Trevi Dime says MJF is the best at what he does, elevates everyone around him, and takes the cake bump. I saved that for last. So he takes the cake bump. He has to. It works best that the table didn't break, too.
Oh, yeah. He was... it's so good.
It was perfect, Alex.
So good.
It was perfect. Loved and, it. I was just glowing after this segment. It was everything that I wanted, and I didn't know that I wanted.
Yeah.
I know MJF's going to win this match. I don't care. Right. It's brand new. It's fresh. Some people, like, I had a guy that said, oh, it's too early. Like, too early? They've been here 4 years, bro.
Right, right.
Like, I was just talking to somebody about John Cena. Guess when he had his first title match, Alex?
When's that?
Against Brock Lesnar about 8-9 months into his run.
There you go.
And he ended up all right. Two years later, he got christened as the guy. I'm looking at WWE, and this summer, I'm like, you know what? I'd love to see Bronson Reed challenge Cody after an undefeated streak of however long he goes on. Like,
I said this on my Raw review on Select. I think that you have an awesome opportunity, assuming Cody does dethrone Roman, of doing a succession of first-time champions. Like LA Knight, Montez Ford, Santos Escobar, Bronson Reed throw it in there, but
make
your generation now. Once Roman is done with his incredibly long reign, he wants to move on. He's not going to be there forever. All these guys you keep bringing back for one more match, eventually their knees are just going to give out and turn to dust. You have to build a new generation to be the new, like, absolute full-time guys so that the guys who are full-time guys now in 5-10 years can come back for one more match and have those dream matches. Until you do that, you're just running the thing into the ground.
During that pivotal period of like 98 to 2001, WWE had first-time champions Stone Cold, The Rock, Mick Foley, Kane, Kurt Angle, Triple H, The Big Show, Chris Jericho. They made people that are still leaned on today. And I understand it doesn't work for everybody, but when the creative is there and the crowd is behind him and it's not too forced. JP noticed his mistake and put, oh, damn. And Jambeard says, House of Black versus BBC sponsored by Brazzers. Jacob Foster can't focus on anything but your glasses, Alex.
Oh, but... I'm sorry. I'll leave with that problem. There we go.
Andrew Cool says, do you think Tony D'Angelo and Grayson alongside Melo and Braun are the four pillars of NXT 2.0, even though not many people watch it? So the thing is, they eventually leave, right? Like, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Is they eventually leave.
Right.
And that's not the goal here in AEW.
No. So, yeah. I guess those would be it, because for sure three of them, like the way that they lean on Grayson Waller, even though I don't appreciate his shtick, for sure. I think Tony D'Angelo should be presented as one of those guys, but it's kind of a stop and start thing. I think he proved beyond the shadow of a doubt in his match versus Dijak that he can really go, that he's not just a character, a meme wrestler. So let's hope.
G Bro says three pillars plus Wardlow combined can't lace MJF's boots. Hey, I think he's great. Burnt River Comedy says MJF loves people running the gauntlet. He should offer title shots to the dads of the daddy daycare if they beat their pupils. I mean, AEW in general loves the gauntlet running thing. I know there was another pitch for that recently, but but I'll tell you something else I've been using recently.
Oh.
NordVPN.com/Fightful. UFC pay-per-view again this weekend, Alex. I ain't paying $80 for it. I'm paying 1/6 that price because of NordVPN.com/Fightful, the fastest VPN in the world. Shields all your data from snoops like me and QT Marshall, apparently. If you don't want QT Marshall all up in your business, get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You know what else it has, Alex? Has lockers, has encryption tools. It's got the fastest VPN in the world. And it's got these great tiers that allow you to choose between all of them. Right now, you get 4 months free, a free gift, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. 30-day money-back guarantee. So, say you use it this weekend, and you go, you know what? I hate spending 1/6 the amount of a UFC pay-per-view. I want my money back. They're going to give you your money back. You're still going to save that money on that first UFC pay, though. By subscribing to an overseas service, you're still going to unlock all this content. March is one of the biggest TV months in a long time. All kinds of new shows are out. You got like Succession, Yellow Jackets, the new season of You. You got that School Spirits show that is an absolute slapper. Sometimes you can check those out a few hours early. Maybe you don't want to wait till midnight or 3 a.m. to watch them. You can watch them when they release overseas with NordVPN.com/Fightful. How much more can I sell you this stuff? It is the best sponsor we have, and I mean that sincerely. NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Jan Beard says, now that all the pillars are doing a four-way feud, hope we get Darby and Sting tag match against Sammy and Jericho since Chris and Sting have never faced each other. You know what? I would love to see that too. I want to see a full Sting retirement tour. I honestly do want to see Sting get like a tag title run too. I would love to see that again, like Darby and Sting against FTR, full on tag title, FTR style match. We saw a little bit of it before, but
yeah.
Alex, I loved QTV. I loved this shit. I absolutely adored it. It was a play off of TMZ, the show. And I so much wish that Ryan Satin could do a cameo on this for the conflicted feelings that would be associated. But I think I would love that. That would be beautiful TV. I loved this. And I'll give you guys a little insight. I even dropped QT a message. I was like, good to see you back on TV. And he said, you and all these media types aren't going to be so happy about it in a few weeks. He was wrong. I loved it. This was so dope.
Yeah.
I laughed my ass off at this. RJ City.
You're just standing in the back reading the newspaper. That was good.
Just standing in the back.
Yep.
I loved this. It got enough attention on QT Marshall to where people checked this out. And I've been telling people for a long time, man, QT is a valuable person to have on this roster. He's a good performer. He's a good wrestler. He's a good trainer. He's a good person to have backstage. He's good in talent relations. He's good. I mean, I think QT Marshall is good. And I've been trying to tell people for a long ass time, and a bunch of people wouldn't listen to me. He's good at riling up people on the interwebs too. He's riled me up a few times. I loved it. And I see Kate saying, I don't know if I love it for Hobbs yet. I don't think that it's like a full-time thing.
Well, let's find out.
Man, there were people that were like, a Bronson Reed is Mrs. Lackey?
That's right. That's well, we'll see. We'll see. Okay? Because that's the thing. I really enjoyed like the setup of it. Like I get what the deal is. Like this is fun. It's a TMZ spinoff with QT as Harvey Levin. I thought that part was great. I don't want Hobbs within 50 miles of this. Like that dude is a murderer. I don't want him hanging around a little TMZ spoof show. I want him out there murdering people. He should be a serious, like big hoss murdering champion. I don't want him hanging out a TMZ spoof show. I just don't.
Sawyer says, didn't understand the segment, but I love QT. Meet Norma says, I didn't appreciate the bootleg gate in the QTV segment. Half the bangs, half the brains, looks and charisma. The lucky blonde.
It's true.
Oh, my God. Tom LaValle says, a great Will Arnett and pop star vibe. That's a great movie, too. Doug QTV. And Eloquent says, everybody run QT Marshall his apologies.
Right.
I thought it was good. I really enjoyed it. And again, I think Hobbs will eventually distance himself, but goddamn, man, QT Marshall's going to kill this.
Right.
He's going to kill it. Vasco says, give me mentor entrances at Double or Nothing for the four pillars. I would kind of like that, like to see their mentors. But like, who would MJF's be? Well, Cody's gone.
Yeah, and like Christian can't be the one who walks in for Jungle Boy.
I know.
So I don't know. Like Luchasaurus, like that's that the only work. Thing.
Yeah.
That's not gonna work. Yeah, I don't know.
Luis says, "Hear me out. Tully versus Stang versus Jericho versus Cage Mentor Wars." Don't think that one works. Doesn't work. PCC defeated the Dark Order. I just love seeing Stu Grayson pop back up because.
Yeah.
He is one of the most underrated wrestlers in the world. And the triple threat or the trios division is cooking. Would love to see some of that focus maybe slid back onto the tag teams. Cause I feel like it's always, it's like, okay, all tag teams or all trios. But right now it's cooking. BCC is fully entrenched heel right now. And I love it. Cause they are such dickheads, Alex. They cheated to beat Dark Order. The guys that they crapped on, that they minimized the impact of and humiliated, they had to cheat to beat those guys, Alex.
This is what I love about the BCCs because they're, even when they're cheating heels, they're smart about it and brutal about it. Like, well, who's the guy that we need to take out if we're going to win this match easily? Oh, if we're going to be 3-on-2, let's sneak the ring bell around the ring. Because if you notice, when Wheeler Yuta hit Paige with it, that was on the opposite side of the ring from where the ring bell usually is. So we took it around the ring to knock out Hangman with it, and then Hangman's out. And the match lasts another 2 or 3 minutes because of how resilient Stu and Evil Uno are. But the damned numbers game... And you get to see the BCC be extra brutal. I love how Yuta is being extra brutal to like prove himself to his brutal older brothers and Claudio and Mox. This is really good stuff. And here's the thing: is it all it took to make them heal was just for say they were using their powers of knocking your head off for evil. Instead of for good. Because really, honestly, if they were doing this stuff to people we don't like, we'd be like, yay! But they're doing it to the Dark Order, who we love, and Stu Grayson. They made Stu Grayson have to tap out in Canada. Like, that was his first match back in AEW. Like, that's a huge thing. Like, it's really great to have him do that and to be extra brutal after the fact. To just want to beat people up. Ah, it's good stuff.
And we saw it continue after the match as well. August 3 says, second Wednesday, Mox didn't bleed. Rerun says, Wheeler Yuta has moved on from the babiest of faces to a little prick so smoothly. His growth has been insane. He has graduated from camping out next to the interview area with his lawn chair to camping out next to the timekeeper's area, apparently.
I love that Moxley's heel move is not bleeding.
Yes.
Everyone wants to see me bleed. Well, you're not getting it. Like, that's like, some good stuff.
He's like, nobody's going to join the BCC because nobody will bleed with me anymore because I refuse to bleed. Living Dead Frank says, Stu had an amazing showcase. Hope to see him back. Me too. But it's good to see that they maintain a positive relationship.
Yeah.
Evangelina says, BCC has had four members arguably for like a year now. Who would you like to see join? If anyone, always wanted to see Serena Deeb. Serena Deeb is who I would like to see join. Straight up, Serena Deeb, Layla Hirsch would be a good option. Maybe Marina Shafir in the future, you know, pending how things work with her. Tony honestly, says,
you know, a great guy who would, if he debuted in AEW, would debut right into the BCC is Roderick Strong. Like, if he were to ever finally found his way out of wherever NXT hellhole they have him, like, lodged in, like, if he actually ever debuted in AEW, he'd be the perfect guy to debut in that. Of course, he'd be in ROH. But I think that the whole thing with Danielson is very interesting, because Danielson hasn't been, like, a on-screen member of the BCC in months. So do they even have four guys anymore? And if you look at how they ended up the end of the show, they might need a fourth guy. And I don't, there's a lot of different possibilities. There's some really great stuff.
The Real Nerd says, long-time viewer, first-time humper, humperchats.com. Thank you all so much. Wanted to send love for all you do. The show, among others, helped me get through some tough times over the summer, so thank you for that. Glad the Dark Order has been getting more TV time. We always love to hear that we help you out. Hate to hear that you went through tough times, but yeah, you guys help me through tough times every single day, so I appreciate you guys so much. I'm also glad that Dark Order have been getting some more TV time, because, Alex, that was the big thing that I had an issue with Hangman's title run, was I felt like they just threw Dark Order away. I mean, quite literally in some cases.
I'm glad they're seeing them get a renewed push, I don't know about push, but like on TV, that's great. And also, these guys who love fighting and won't back down from anybody, that's great stuff too, because a lot of what they got done was like, was comedy stuff, which is fine, but like I love it that these guys now are fighters. I think that's really great.
Tony says a few things here. The trios division is on the up, and who do we think are the last two women teaming with the Outcast? Happy about Taya, wanted her in AEW when she first left Impact. You see Nyla's tweet about Mox not bleeding. Yes, I did. That was good. Yeah. We will address, Tony, the last two women teaming with the Outcast as that segment happens.
Right.
But the trios division is absolutely cooking, Tony. Oh my God. I love it, especially when it was highlighted to the way that it was at the end of the show. Isaiah Berry says, Danielson with or against BCC when he's back? Oh, I think he's with. I think he's very much with.
I mean,
as a heel.
If that's what they do, because him coming back into going directly into ROH, which is I'm going home, that would be something as well that they could do. But if he comes back, yeah, I think that him coming back. But the last we saw of him was this guy that we rooted for while we were rooting against BCC, and if he shows up, that question of where do his allegiances lie is good for at least a couple episodes of Dynamite. So that's some good stuff there.
We have Eloquent saying, regarding Roddy Strong, do you know when it's coming?
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Contract ends. By the way, I ask about Roderick Strong all the time. The only thing I've gotten from Marina is, oh, he's fine. That's the only thing I'll get there. I'm like, I think you know that's not what I'm asking.
No,
here.
Not really.
What I'm asking.
Yeah.
He's still okay. generally speaking, he would still ideally have at least a year left on his deal. However, there are so many factors at play here.
Right.
Has he somehow gotten a release that I just don't know about or that the world doesn't know about and is sitting out a non-compete? I don't know. He's not in the new game. Has there been a deal frozen? Is he working on something else? There are a lot of things at play here that I just don't know. He had asked for his release at one point. Jambeard says apparently the blonde is someone named Harley Cameron. Yes, indeed.
Yep.
Shotkid says, y'all got MJF. I can't pronounce what he said. the term that he used.
Meshuggah.
Meshuggah up in this bitch. Maybe the greatest line of ever.
Up in this bitch.
That was great. Good time. Trevi so Dime good. Says Jungle Boy, David Arquette, MJF, CM Punk. Oh, CM ain't gonna be CM Punk.
No.
I mean, him and MJF. I mean, like, he took legit shots at MJF recently too. But also MJF is business, so.
Yes.
Full White says the six getting Forbidden Door. Let's go. Just need to flex my city on y'all. It's the greatest city I've ever been to. Yeah. I love Toronto more than any place besides the city I live in. I love Lexington because it's home now. But I love Toronto, man. Rock Hard, Juice Robinson, and Ricky Starks. This was just a taste, Alex, and I love it. They're just giving you a taste of their promo. And this was good and effective, I thought.
Man, these promo back and forths are going to be so good when they get in the ring with live mics. Jeez. Like, Juice is main event material. Like, he's one of the best natural fiery promos in wrestling. The dude can work. Like, he's got a great look. That guy's it, man. That's another thing about AEW that I think is really good. Like, okay, let's start building up these our four pillars. There are so many people on that AEW roster that can be long-term major deals for this company. They just need to have the push behind them. So let's start it now. Let's start pushing these guys now in different ways, pushing the title shots, the title reigns, whatever. But like, Juice Robinson's excellent. And Ricky Starks is, I think, has the potential to be the biggest star in AEW. Like, I don't know if he'll have the most title reigns over the next 5 years, but star potential, that guy's got it, man.
We got more super chats, but we're going to get into those in a moment. As FightfulSelect.com reported tonight, best $5 in the business. Go ahead and subscribe. We're going to have producer news, backstage news tomorrow. Nicole Matthews was the opponent for Jade Cargill. She is taking American bookings now, but she got absolutely squashed. But tonight wasn't about her.
No.
It was a bait and switch. For the debuting Taya, who we do have details on her AEW deal at FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. She's finishing up with a couple companies, but she still got dates on the books. We got info on that there. She told me last month that this year was the year she was hoping to nail down a full-time contract. That happened. And she got in the ring. She did the same finish as Jade does to Jade's baddie. And I just love Jade's reaction because Jade doesn't know or give a shit who this is.
No.
All she knows is she's doing my move, even though it's been Taya's for a lot longer.
Right. Yes, that's true.
To Jade, she's like, the audacity.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that Taya and Jade played this perfectly, Alex.
Oh, yeah. This was great. I have been a Taya Valkyrie fan since the first time I laid eyes on her in Lucha Underground. And I was like, she's awesome. Just the way she moves and like everything about her. She's so great. And I was so disappointed when they were like, hey, NXT signed Taya Valkyrie. Now she's Frankie Monet. What are we going to do with her? There's so many great matches. And then they just didn't do anything with her. And I was like, well, that was one of the reasons I was actually excited to watch NXT for a while. And then no. So now she's in AEW. I love this pairing.
with Jade because I know that Taya can bring out like a really good long match from Jade. Like there's some really good stuff that the size discrepancy isn't going to be like Jade's going to be in there. Like, okay, I don't want to like Herc you out of the ring with like the people that are just smaller that she works with. So she does some herky jerky type of and that's not going to happen with Taya. She's not going to let it happen. Like there's going to be some really, really good stuff. I love this first interaction with them. This could be the woman who beats Jade. But then again, I did say that when Athena debuted. So I don't know exactly what we're doing here, but I'm all about it for as long as we get it.
I thought they played this off incredibly well. Volob says AEW living in La Guerra Loca. Parker says, will Jade catch her first loss now? Do you think that Taya will be the first one to beat her?
I don't, but I think this is the best shot we've got since Athena debuted and had that feud with her, which I was certain they were going to have Athena beat Jade at that time. And now, like, I don't know. Like, I don't. I think this is going to be her best feud since the one she had with Athena. Is it basically her first feud? Like, real feud since the one she had with Athena? Like, she's had a bunch of matches where she's defended and won, but I don't think she's had a real feud. So, like, let's see where this goes. But I won't rule it out for sure. Taya's that good, and they may realize how good she is and what they can do to build off of it. But the other thing is, there's a lot of great potential with Jade. Jade somehow running afoul of the Outcasts, like saying something that they don't matter or whatever, and them costing her the title in a match with Taya, which then just serves to make Jade join the Homegrowns, which then becomes like a problem that Saraya and Tony and Ruby did not think they were going to have to deal with. Like that could be a cool storyline part of it.
We have Dream Ninja saying very good show here for the Four Pillars and all in for Taya and AEW. She's ready made to be a TV star. Oh, she's got the unique set of experience that Taya has is great. I mean, in multiple countries, multiple television styles, multiple wrestling styles. She is such a versatile performer. Jambeard says that Shimmer lives on with Nicole and Taya. I wish Shimmer lived on as a developmental territory for somebody too, because they created a lot. Jambeard says hype for Taya being elite, but done with the Jade squashes. And they did Nicole dirty with that. Get to see Nicole versus Miyu next Friday. I don't think they did Nicole dirty. She has relatively no, you know, global television exposure, and I'm sure she'll be back.
I saw a lot of people who are Canadian indie fans, apparently,
were
so excited that Nicole Matthews was in this spot.
Sure.
And then immediately after that tweeted, oh, wait, never mind. So they thought they were going to get a real match out of it, and they didn't, and they were disappointed.
And that's understandable for sure.
Yeah.
But also, when Nicole takes a booking to face Jade Cargill on Dynamite, I don't think that she expected it to be like a 10-minute match.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
N. Simmons says, the Forbidden Door coming up. I don't care how much she wants. You give me Jade versus Mercedes. Very happy to see Jade in there with a vet that's her size with Taya. Taya is, it's going to be. And that's the type of person you want Jade Cargill having matches with.
Yes.
Whatever the live events are that are coming up, you put Jade against Taya in those in like 10, 15-minute matches too.
It's a great shout.
Broadway Joe says Pete Dunne would be a great addition to BCC in a perfect world. Any idea on his contract, Sean? No, but he's about to be Pete Dunne again.
He's about to be Pete Dunne again, so that's good.
Yeah. Also, if Punk is gone, they need MJFTR versus the Elite, Max versus Kenny, woo boy. Also, yeah. I agree with that, and I think Pete Dunne probably signed a new deal whenever he came up to the main roster, because that's usually what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reminder, guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. We would greatly appreciate it. You can get your super chats or humper chats in to get your question or statement read on the air. We got two Q&A shows on FightfulSelect.com this week, and that is just $5 a month. Trust me, if you subscribe, you will not regret it. Thursday, Ask Grapsody. Friday-ish, looking like Friday, will be my Q&A show. I dropped one on Sunday as well. It's a good time. Broadway Joe says it needs to be AEW original IMO. Great tweet. I read Sky Blue getting her first win in the biggest upset in history, or build up Willow. You got to build up somebody, I think, for the win, but
you'd have to build them up. Or they were, I believe they were all set to have it be Statlander. And then she got hurt. And I think whenever she is healthy, that's a great opportunity for her to come back with a bang, be the one to beat Jade. And then you could start off an amazing title reign with her whenever she's fully healthy and ready to go.
Eloquent says, off topic, have you seen the new ROH? Yeah, I love the new ROH. I've been enjoying that weekly. Whether you guys watch it or not, Thursdays, we have a post show with Kate and Reg. So if you do watch it, you get probably the only live post show that's out there on a major wrestling website. And if you don't, that's how you can keep up with it. And then after about an hour, hour and 10 minutes, they hand that stream over to Joel and Cresta, who are doing, again, the only live Impact post show on a major wrestling website that I know of. So we're making sure you guys are covered every single night here on youtube.com/Fightful. And Fightful.com. But I love the new ROH. And that's, so a lot of people talking about Tony Khan possibly being burned out with booking. I want to see how he does now that sort of, you know, maybe some of that weight is off, not his shoulders, but one shoulder specifically.
Right.
Like, instead of carrying around 50 pounds on this shoulder, he's got 25 on each. Maybe he can handle it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Bizarro Big L says, first chat, great show. Need another pay-per-view in Boston. Was there for Supercard and AEW kills it every time they come to town. Sean, let's be serious. The OT won't fix the Bungles issues or save you from TJ Watt. Simon Miller is better than QT. Happy Fabio Day. You know, I can't remember, you know, what TJ Watt did in the playoffs this year. I can't remember. I'd pull up his stats, but I don't think they exist, which is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And that was with the Bengals with just an obliterated O-line. The Bengals still made it to the AFC conference finals, and they had like a combined one ACL on their offensive line. Unreal. Orange Cassidy defeated Jeff Jarrett, and this was some prime, like, WWE, we're going to tease you with the terrible booking idea booking, Alex. But the difference is, like, especially with WWE, when they would do this, they'd be like, we're going to fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that type of thing. But and because they had so many times.
Mm-hmm.
This was just because we've seen Jeff Jarrett so much. They AEW could do the, we're going to fucking do it. And we bought it every time. The Golden Globe to the head. The mere fact that he was booked in the match, Alex.
Yeah.
All of it. We had some details on how, why the title name change was made on FightfulSelect.com. Go check that out. I thought they did a fantastic job teasing this. They threw everything. They threw Satnam. They threw Jay Lethal. They threw the Golden Globe. They threw the ref distraction. They threw the figure four. Everything at it to make you think that Jeff Jarrett was going to win this.
Yep.
I thought this was brilliant booking.
It certainly worked. Did the trick. I had accepted earlier today that Jeff Jarrett was winning, so I could like process all the stages of anger, disappointment, and grief before I had to watch it. I had accepted it. I was like, that's it. I'm done. I believe now Jeff Jarrett will win, and so therefore, when he does, I won't be that upset. And so he didn't, and it's a great day. It's a joyous day. We should declared a national holiday, Jeff Jarrett lost day. It's going to be, it's awesome. Let's celebrate it every March 15th. But I thought this was really laid out really well. There were a lot of really fun variations on the trope of that you can't really do a
throw the chair at a guy who catches it and then fall over thing with a guitar, because the guitar would have broken. But this is what I love about the it is a convention in AEW that all the refs are bad at their job. Even yeah. Aubrey, who's good most of the time, sometimes she's really bad. And Orange Cassidy, having the guitar, tapping Aubrey on the shoulder, she turns around, then he throws the guitar to Satnam, and then he falls over. And she's like, hey, did you hit him? Like, that was so great, because she was the second ref, because the first ref already took the bump. So, like, you've already, this is, it was a spoof of a wrestling match. And it was great. And all the people played their parts tremendously. It was a hoot to watch. And I thought they were doing all of this to make it more palatable when Jeff Jarrett finally did win, because we enjoy just watching all the comedy of it so much beforehand. But no, they actually kept the title on Orange Cassidy. At this point, like, I thought they were going to have Jarrett be a transitional champ to somebody else, because I don't know what a long, like, months and months long international title reign does. Like, you, this is a great way to get a bunch of guys title reigns. But we'll see. This was a lot of fun. Jeff Jarrett did a great job in the match. I'll say that. Like, he did a great job for doing what he was doing. It was booked in a way that was enjoyable to watch. But if I hadn't already accepted the fact that Jeff Jarrett was going to win, man, that Golden Globe shot would have made me so angry.
The sharpshooter spot, I just love seeing the various different ways that people apply the sharpshooter. Like, when it's held up there, sometimes you'll see somebody's knee right in the middle. Sometimes you'll see it like Brett, where he's got his arm firmly on the knee of one. He's got like the heel hooked on another. Sometimes you see it like Orange Cassidy, where he'll like apply the wrist lock to his own wrist. There's so many different ways to do that. I thought that was a good spot to do in Canada. But Jeff Jarrett, I mean, people were surprised that Jeff Jarrett had a better looking sharpshooter. I mean, he's been around the block for a very, very long time. So I guess I just wasn't so surprised. And also, he teamed with a guy that did that pretty well in Owen Hart. Like, That's true. I'm sure he's applied a few of them in his day. Jambeard says, Alex hiding the tears with those glasses because the Double J loss. And so Anime Otaku says, the sharpshooter had me firmly on team. Bee-woo! Figure four nurse lock says, like him or not, Jarrett knows how to get legit heat, and he knows how to get not just put people over. When and why do things, for example, his experience is invaluable in my opinion. Like I said, also, the fact that he can still do everything that he's always done.
Right.
And looks good physically. And I mean, a few years ago, he wasn't in the best shape, and he got himself in great shape again.
Yeah.
Eloquent says he thought OC's knee selling was a little inconsistent. I did like on the kip up that he landed on one
knee. I like that.
That was
Here's an idea. If we're gonna do something where if this is the end for OC as the international champion for soon. Open challenge, it's answered by Juice Robinson, and then you can make the feud with Ricky Starks before that title. Like, if Juice was the one to beat him, you could actually have Ricky Starks chasing Juice, not just for the title, which would be nice, but also as a grudge thing.
Yeah.
There could be a lot of fun stuff there, too. I like combining those things in a way to make sure that everything feels as important as possible.
I do like that Orange Cassidy's character has shifted from lazy guy to the most active champion in the history of like AEW.
So true.
The most fightingest champion that they've ever seen. Yeah. August 3 says Orange Cassidy is an example of a guy who gets organically over and is a non-WWE guy, wins his future world title shot. Hope soon after he drops that title. Well, I would want to see him get a few wins after that too.
Right.
But I think eventually the thing that will lead to Orange Cassidy losing is the fact that he is so active as a champion.
Yes.
Like that it almost like they could have played it up in ECW that Rob Van Dam was so active as a champion that his leg gave out on him. Like and it broke. I'm surprised they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Brian Mahoney says Jeff Jarrett was guilty of a lot when he was younger. Time to forgive his sins in WCW and TNA. The guy is tremendous at his age, and he knows his role in wrestling, entertaining doing it. Well, I didn't have an issue with almost anything he did in WCW. I felt like, honestly, he was a breath of fresh air in WCW and was probably best suited to be a new guy in that top spot. And then when he went to TNA, he was absolutely deserving and appropriate to be in a top spot. But being in the top spot for as long as he was at the expense of some of the people, especially Monty Brown, who should have been, like, unfortunately, he had to step away due to personal reasons. But he should have been such a star that him being there, like, would he should have commanded millions of dollars in wrestling.
Right.
That's how good Monty Brown was.
Yep.
Monty Brown was special. And there was a lot of really great talent there that could have helped TNA break through that I feel like maybe didn't get that opportunity as a result.
Right.
Renee Paquette interviews the Outcast. By the way, Jade threatened Renee earlier on, and Renee played that so well.
She did. She
so
did.
Well. She interviews the Outcasts, and they talk about what they do with a dog that pisses all over the floor. You show them that it's their house, and then Rio comes out with a goddamn lead pipe.
Well, yeah, yes, that's part of it too. Yeah.
Jesus. She's like, well, I'm not pissing on your floor. I got a pipe.
Yeah, there was a few steps with one. Soraya caught what neck bearded stinky twats.
I think was the twats, yeah.
Twats, okay.
Twats.
Yeah. And I again, Jesus, Soraya, just at me, okay? It's fine. Like, we can have this discussion. We don't have to, like...
I tell people, it's clear they watch the show.
It's obviously that they watch the show. Out comes Jamie Hayter, and I actually thought Tony's thing was, like, Jamie Hayter cheated to beat me in my interim championship. And you guys cheered for her because she's your favorite. Like, it's a good thing. Honestly, I think that all three of these women have some kind of, like, legitimate, honest, true gripe, but they've taken it too far. And that's a really good way to do things for a heel turn. Now, when Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker come out and it's 2-on-3 and they're getting, you know, the crap beat out of them, Rio comes out with a pipe. And also Sky Blue and also Willow. So now it's 5-on-3. And so now you have to, now the Outcasts got to find two more.
And we were asked by Tony earlier who he thinks the two will be. Who do you think the two will be?
Well, the one that makes perfect sense right now is Athena, even though she's in ROH. She is an Outcast. And also she's been doing amazing, great, brutal heel work. So, like,
I mean, let's be real. Those aren't the two that make the most sense.
Okay, fine. That's not the most. Yes, sure. Sure.
That's Nikki and Brie Bella or Garcia, say they are not coming to AEW.
Right. I don't necessarily want it to be people who are debuting into the feud, because that's not the feud is that we came here from somewhere else. You guys were all excited to see us, and then you didn't care about us anymore.
Of course.
That's not the same thing with Brie and Nikki Garcia just showing up and being like, hey, we're here now, don't you hate us? That's not the same thing. I want it to be kind of consistent, but again, I never get what I want.
But also, if you did want to make it a tribalistic thing, there is no act that says WWE
more
than that.
But again, the whole thing is not, we are WWE. We were at the other place. The grass was greener. We got fired or we left of our own volition to come here because this was the place to be, and you all turned your backs on us. That's a different thing than this. But, I mean, would it be kind of cool to see the Garcia twins now in this? Sure. But I kind of want that consistency of, we used to be at the other place. They fired us. We came here because it was supposed to be a cool place to be, and you guys did not embrace us the way we wanted it. So there's some other there.
Jennifer Kathleen says Rio with a lead pipe. All is right in the world. King of the North says the same, but with Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker in all denim. Chris Rain says somewhere Bret Hart was smiling, seeing Jamie and Britt rocking the Canadian tuxedo. I just realized that's what it was. They did that because it's Canada and they're wearing a Canadian tuxedo.
That's right.
That's brilliant. N. Simmons says, I think Ruby as a mouthpiece is great. I do too. I'm really glad to see her doing this.
Yeah.
And Jambeard says, Alex, I was wrong. Sheeta isn't Sting. Riho is Sting with the pipe versus the new women's order. She's just going to point that. She's going to hand the pipe to somebody and turn her back.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Oh, man. You know what she could have? Trimmers.
She could.
Thanks to manscaped.com and the code Fightful. And if she wanted, she could have them for 20% off. But not just trimmers. Really anything in the bathroom. In anything in there. Especially for you men. I'm talking about the best in men's grooming. You get free shipping and two free gifts when you use the code Fightful at manscaped.com. You get 20% off too. You can get free boxers, the toiletry bag, free shipping with the purchase of the Performance Package 4.0 or the Platinum Package 4.0. But they have so many different things. They have the Platinum Package 4.0. That's the luxury full body grooming kit. They have the Perfect Package 4.0, which is specifically for your groin. Then they got the Beard Hedger Pro Kit, which is brand new. The luxury beard grooming kit with like scissors, brush, beard balm oil, combs, trimmers that make it so easy to do like daily, weekly maintenance. They got the Lawnmower 4.0 for groin and body grooming. They got the Weed Whacker 2.0 electric nose hair trimmer and ear hair trimmer. They've even got boxers. They've got cologne. They've got everything you need in the bathroom to take care of yourself. The peak hygiene plan, thanks to manscaped.com and the code Fightful. Where like maybe you're just dirty. They got hydrating body spray, beard shampoo, everything. There is nothing you can't find to give yourself a makeover at manscaped.com using that code Fightful. Great stuff, guys. Great stuff. More great stuff. Well, actually, let's get to the Max Caster video. What do you, how do you feel about that? It was pretty good. We know cool. What to expect.
And, but it was also it was a cool little thing to the fans. Like, thank you for, like, honestly though, like the fans decided these guys are it. Like the live fans, people at all the events. Like, so their run as champions, I think, is justifiably owed to the fans who made them in, like, got them super over. And that was really cool. I liked it.
2.0 promo. They're going to face the Bollywood Boys this week. I'm excited for that. But this main event, House of Black defeat the Elite and Yas, and Kenny Omega gets a just guano crazy reaction. This match was just fantastic. Shot Kid says, easily my favorite AEW of the year so far. Trios is cooking, Four Pillars, world title program. Women's division is heating up. And just for Alex, Jarrett lost. Oh, and QTV is my kind of cheesy, hokey BS. Well, this main event was my kind of main event. This was absolute mayhem. A triple threat trios match, Alex. Let's talk about the match itself.
Yeah.
Anything that stood out to you?
I love the House of Black. I love their presentation. I love all three guys. I love what they do in the ring. I thought they did just enough to make sure that it was like, okay, we're the champions, but the people here in this city, in this arena, are here to see Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho. Let's make this the best match we can while making sure those guys get as much shine as they can. A lot of fun. Everybody got to do fun stuff. I love this. Every time we're going to do the spot of guy gets in the ring with Brody King and immediately doesn't want to be in the ring with Brody King. I'm never going to get tired of that spot. I think that was great. Garcia nailed it. This was a lot of fun. There were a couple of times I was like, they're not going to take the titles off of House of Black after 10 days, are they? And I didn't. And thank God for that. But I thought everybody got to look great.
They're the trios division is as hot as it could possibly be right now. And I think the tag division is in good hands with FTR coming back to claim the titles. I think that you can easily take 2/3 of a trios team and move them over to feud with FTR after they get the titles back. So I think that all of this is in great, great shape. The match was excellent. Really loved a lot of the spots in it, but I'm mostly excited for the future of this trios division because it's great.
Holy shit. So Gang Wars breaks out.
Yeah.
But it's not just them. Dark Order spills out. BCC spills out.
Mm-hmm.
Hangman spills out.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends with Hangman squaring off with the BCC in the ring and them backing down.
Yep.
Did he see the Elite behind him? Did he know they were behind him?
I don't know.
But they were.
But they were.
And they did have his back.
They had his back. The Elite had Hangman's back, which again is becomes like this thing of like, what do the Dark Order think about that?
We've got unresolved. We still got year and a half old unresolved bullshit.
Absolutely.
Kenny never addressed the Bucks giving him the nod.
Nope. Never.
Kenny has not interacted with Hangman yet.
Nope.
This is juicy stuff. This is juicy stuff right here. Caden says, Elite are back, baby. What it do? Sawyer says, it may be going back to the well, but peak AEW is defined by the Elite Hangman saga, and I'm excited for the next chapter on top of Trios Summer. I mean, one of my favorite stories is the ongoing Shawn Michaels Triple H saga, the ongoing Kevin Owens Sami Zayn saga. You play off of history, and I am interested in this history.
Yeah.
Corey says the Battle of Takeshita loyalty incoming, BCC versus the Elite. What did you think seeing this, Alex?
Well, I mean, I'm all about seeing the Elite versus BCC. That's some really cool stuff right there. Plus, Hangman's never better as a character than he's when he's conflicted. So him being like having just basically rekindled this really cool relationship with the Dark Order, that they are fighting together as one against the evil Blackpool Combat Club. And then also his old buddies, Young Bucks and Kenny, having his back in his personal feud that's destined to last forever with Moxley. The choice that Hangman Page is going to have to make amidst all of this, while you got, you know, let's not forget the House of Black as the champions, apparently breaking off into having just a single feud here with Yas, which mixed returns on that for me, but we'll see how the future matches go. I think that the Trios division is really, really, really solid with a lot of really good stuff involved here in the future.
Some really great stuff. JB Love sends a very generous super chat. First off, JB, I want to thank you for this very much. Says, I was building a shelf watching when the Elite came to Hangman's aid. I legit dropped a hammer on my foot. Worth it.
Worth every penny.
Worth it. This was something. This, Alex, the show was fresh. New faces. Faces we haven't seen in the main event picture. A trios situation we haven't seen.
Yeah.
A gang wars thing that has been an ongoing joke for years that makes me go, yeah, but I want to see this one.
Yep.
I do want to see this gang wars.
This is the one I would like to see. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, this is as good as it gets. So, yeah, I would also like to see this. Didn't know this was coming. Right. This came out of left field. And now you've got all of these pieces. It's like when you're watching one of those good crime dramas and everybody's story starts to get interweaved.
Yeah.
And then it starts to come together and you're like, oh, somebody's about to eat shit hard, real bad here. And we don't know who it's going to be. And we don't know who's going to emerge. I love it. Love for Booth says, it's my birthday and I have fantasy booked heel BCC versus babyface elite and hangman in this chat for the last month. Happy birthday. And I'm glad you're getting your gift.
It's so good.
Hopefully you didn't land in cake. N. Simmons says the biggest critique about AEW is how storylines, but this episode gave three good storylines. Cause now the story is, will Hangman stay with the Dark Order or will they turn on him for being flip floppy? You got to remember, before Dark Order was a fun social club, they were a cult. These men all joined a cult at some point.
Yes, it's true.
That cannot be forgotten.
Can't be forgotten.
Shot Kid says, the closing image of Hangman turning to the Elite got me to stand out of my seat. I know people will be mad they cut there, but I feel like they left it on a cliffhanger. I'm unbelievably excited where this was going.
I always wind up like 3 or 4 minutes behind watching on my DVR, and it cut out. Like, I had to go on Twitter to find out that the Elite even showed up at all. So, like, yeah, I was not able to see him turn around. I just saw that they were there. That's awesome. The fact that he's there and recognizing that these guys have his back, and it's awesome that you have my back. I'm not sure if I want you to have my back. There's really, really great stuff, man. Yeah.
King of the North says, I was on my feet for the Jericho Omega stand down or stare down wrestling, and my shirt was off for the Elite backing up Hangman. That is my cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really gave me that feeling of when I was watching AEW and there was that, it felt like something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right now in WWE, we've got such a satisfying top storyline going on. I haven't needed that much of an alternative. Alex, you hate everything. That doesn't count.
That's true.
You hate everything. Compared to the shit that I saw for so many years.
Yes.
At one point, we were covering some really bad stuff.
Yes.
But this gave me that feeling again. Jambeard says, but Sean, Brody said it wasn't a cult. Sure. Stereo sure thing, Academy bro. With a very generous super chat. Thank you so much. Says, if they use House of Black to sort of break up parts of Yas, that would be a good use of the feud.
I wouldn't mind that at all. Yeah.
I would love House of Black to sort of be like a three-headed Sean O'Hare devil's advocate type of thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Like where there's a devil on this shoulder, there's a devil on this shoulder, and then there's a devil creeping up behind you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're only telling you all the worst things that could happen to you.
Yes.
No positives at all. I just think there's something to that.
Yeah.
So, and I think that those three performers bring such a different thing. I think that Murphy can bring such a torrid pace, or Matthews can bring such a torrid pace. Malachi Black, like when he talks to you, he does it with such a cadence where, in a calm. And then Brody also maintains that he can just run through you as well.
He's, yeah, man.
Dante says, Rio said, I speak softly but carry a big pipe. And Irene says, love the, we're running out of time, Nitro ending with Elite and BCC. The kind of cliffhanger is something AW could use more of. You know what? I'm fortunate that we didn't have to live through.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the remainder of this match during the commercials of Power Slap. Could you imagine? I sat through that Robin Hood bullshit.
Oh, man. That was
DQ finish. As a little kid, I was seething, man. I had school in the morning, and I sat through Robin Hood for a DQ finish. Oh. Next time I interview Eric Bischoff, I'm going to go off about that. Sawyer says,
you should.
With BTE this week, Hangman picked up the photo of Elite that he turned around on the shelf 2 years ago and then put it back. F'd me up. And I know there are a lot of people that are like, oh, I don't watch BTE, but, you know, anything that's important enough, they're going to tell you about. Don't worry.
They will.
Shot Kid says, if Santana was able to resolve his issues with Ortiz and Kingston, LAX being added in this trio's division that was heating up would make it explode. Well, I mean, Kingston would have to settle his on-screen issues with Ortiz as well. He's been hitting the man with steel chairs and stuff.
That is true.
But I just hope that Santana and Ortiz make amends because they are a very special unit together.
Yeah.
Guys, last call, Super Chats, Humper Chats. Jambeard says, if they're doing women from WWE and the Outcast other than Athena, then Martinez fits that requirement, and so does Deeb. I don't think either one of them do, because a lot of people know that Mercedes outright was like, I don't want to do this shit. And Serena already cut that promo about how grossed out she was working there.
Yes.
One LT photo says, I love the pump kick Brody destroyed Danny with. I mean, I love about everything that Brody does.
Like, man, Brody is a tattooed forklift. Like, he just runs through people. It's so great. I love him.
Man, I had so much fun watching this show this week. I had so much fun covering this show. RP says, did you guys get my Humper Chat? We will have Luis check that right now. I'll check it as well. But I think we will have. But Alex, while we're looking that up, why don't you let the people know where they can find you?
Well, you can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me on Fightful Select on Mondays with the wonderful Miss Kate Fabe, Kate Elizabeth, reviewing Raw, which is not wonderful. And on Tuesdays on this very channel, reviewing NXT, such as it is. Then on Fridays, including this Friday, we will be doing a Rampage watch along while reviewing SmackDown. Special time of, they say, 11:30 Eastern. Who knows? Whenever the NCAA thing is over, whenever that is, whenever Rampage starts on FIFA Select, I'll be doing a watch along of that while reviewing that episode of SmackDown. Also on Friday, over on the Know Your News channel, we are reviewing at noon Eastern. We are reviewing Leprechaun movies. I'm reviewing the horror Leprechaun movie and all of its sequels. And Kate is reviewing a kids movie about leprechauns where the actor who played the horror leprechaun is also playing the kids movie leprechaun. It should be a lot of fun.
Are you doing the Hornswoggle one?
No, I'm doing the Warwick Davis ones.
We do have the Humper Chat from RP. Big thank you for that. Sorry it got missed. He says, who are your 5-on-5 for the Elite and BCC? Takeshita could be a big swerve and end up with BCC. I think he should be, Alex. My five are Moxley, Claudio, Yuta, Danielson, and Takeshita. My five for the Elite are Omega, the Bucks, Hangman, and Kota Ibushi.
Ooh, I'm having palpitations.
And buddy, imagine the face off when Kota Ibushi is staring down Takeshita too, because everybody knows Takeshita is the guy in the future.
It's going to be the Spider-Man meme. Oh boy. Wow.
Jambeard says Stokely is going to beat Hook, I think. Oh man. I think the only thing Stokes going to beat is himself, buddy. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. We have an interview with Miyu Yamashita coming up in about 20 minutes here on Fightful. We've got Maki Ito coming up very, very soon as well. So make sure you check that out. Early access to him on FightfulSelect.com. We give early notes on there as well. So lots of cool stuff at FightfulSelect.com. Not just show rundowns, not just news, podcasts, all that good stuff, Q&As. It was fun tonight. An hour and a half review that I absolutely adored. I loved hanging out with you guys. Check out Listen Your Boy today. We are getting closer and closer to that show just being Super Chats for an hour. I love it. Jimmy's got to get rid of that dumbass clipboard or whatever it is he's got. he named that show The List based on the Jericho List. And I said, why? Why are you calling it The List, which was an angle and a moment of time, and Your Boy, which is something I said a dozen times on a podcast and did a shirt over.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is.
Here it is.
Check it out, guys. Ask Grapsody. Hey, if you want more Dynamite, day after Dynamite, Thursdays with Will Washington here on YouTube.com/Fightful. Love you guys. We are out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.